It's nice to be here. Every time I come here, open up the doors, and Eric and Doreen are busy getting everything ready, and I can feel the joy. I can feel the love of God. I can feel the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. It's just uplifting, renewing, and much needed. I got to get my cheaters on here. The ability to understand, in our verse, He founded the world by His wisdom and stretched out the heavens by His understanding. The ability to understand the experiences of others is a great gift. Comes from God. It's a part of the very foundation of the universe. Its creation was not born out of need or loneliness or even just to say, I want to amuse myself. It was a deliberate act of love. It was part of a master plan, and no, we are not privy to all the details, but we are given insight. Having been created in the image of God, we share in many of His characteristics. For this discussion, we'll focus on the emotional and intellectual. When God created the universe, there was a plan. It was all by design. So, Book of Genesis, of course, lays out the initial plan, and Earth is created, water covered it, God separates the waters, and land is created, let there be light, let there be animals, and let us make man in our own image. And the creation would reflect His character. And you have someone with the intellectual capacity to at least grasp in some small way His character. Here we are. And we struggled for thousands of years to understand the God that had created us, and the God who had sustained us, and we were getting nowhere fast. By design, God had decided from the very onset that we were to make up our own mind. We would think it through, we would make our own decision, and this all led to calamity. Oh dear. Because we go our own way all of a sudden we find ourselves in this hole and looking up and there's nowhere to go and we're in deep trouble and nowhere to turn but God. Some turn to God, some don't. When you read the Bible and talk about hell, which Jesus talked more about hell than He did about heaven, wailing and gnashing of teeth. The wailing is the crying and sobbing of, oh my God, what did I do to myself? What did I do to you? I'm so wrong. Gnashing of teeth is the anger and sheer disdain for God, for those who find themselves in hell, saying, how dare you put me here? You have no right. And they will complain for all of eternity. But God knew this. He sent Christ into the world to understand the world. He would show the world the way to God, greeted by a world that largely rejected Him and still does. And through it all, he had empathy for us. God loves us, not because we are lovable, but because he chooses to love us. Empathy is an intellectual process. People with empathy have the ability to relate and understand the feelings of others. I sort of got the inspiration for this. Debbie is a Christian counselor and deals a lot in the world of empathy. That sensitivity, the empathy, the ability to understand someone else's position is what leads to compassion. Compassion is taking action on something, which is not to be confused with sympathy. Sympathy is merely feeling sorry for somebody. Jesus did not express sympathy. He expressed compassion. I understand what's going on. I have a plan, and let's execute the plan. He was also able to keep his distance. Empathy and compassion are great things to have. They're virtues that God gives us, but we get caught up in all the feelings and emotions of other people. We have to have a boundary. We have to have a hedge of protection. We have to have the ability to stand back and remain objective, to see the other's situation for what it is, to turn to God and say, Lord, what is your take on this, and how can I help? And as it's said in Matthew, Jesus went through the towns and villages, teaching their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them. I see your need, and I am in the position to do something. They were harassed like sheep without a shepherd. And then it ends, he says, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into this harvest field. Here were all of those people. This was calamity. But he was in execution mode. When you get caught up in your emotions, you're not in execution mode. You're not following the plan. You're in react mode. Oh dear, I got to do something. What do I do now? But if you go in with a sense of what's going on, or of a sense of what is going on in the minds and the hearts of other people, you can best form what is God's intention for them and be able to discern a way forward. Compassion. Of course, the opposite of all this is apathy. Apathetic people don't see the other side and don't care. But compassion is mentioned 77 times in the Bible, but almost always in terms of God making a decision to look at people with empathy and act with compassion. God relieves suffering. But apathy means you're hurting, you're in a bad way, I don't care. I worked for many years as a hospital chaplain. And in my training for that position, I had to learn about empathy. I had to learn mostly about shutting up and listening. I had to learn about let people tell their story. Looking back at my years as a chaplain, what a blessing to hear what people have gone through, all of their worries, all of their concerns, keeping my distance, maintaining my mental health. But turning to God and saying, God, how do you see this? How do you see this? And it's amazing. And I listen to the stories that Deb tells. You walk through it with them. Walk alongside. And all of a sudden, sometimes, God willing, sometimes the light bulb goes on. Aha! That's what it is. And they can turn to God. They can help themselves as God gives them the resources to do that. But apathy just shuts the door. The major dividing points between apathy and compassion, or empathy and compassion. Compassion is delivered from a Latin word, compassio, which means fellow feeling. Compassio, fellow feeling. Empathy is something that a person can learn. It's a skill. Solomon didn't ask for more riches or more wealth or more power. He asked for wisdom. Empathy is a byproduct of wisdom. It's a byproduct of sitting back and listening to God and allowing God to work through you. So it's a necessary task that we be mindful that when Jesus fed the 5,000, he was very much in control. He had a plan, and he put the plan in motion. I think we get confused. We get caught up in compassion because we desire to do the work of the Holy Spirit. We desire to act in a way that God wants us to act. And then we discover that no matter what we do, we fall short. But the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, land, put on the new self, created to be like God in the true righteousness and holiness. And Paul continues the beginning of chapter 5. He says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Love one another. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. Love one another. That's empathy. It's not love in the sense of I'm attracted to you. It's not love in the sense that I can't help myself. It's love in the sense that it's what I am told to do. It's an intellectual decision. Be imitators of God. You're not going to be God. You're not going to work as God. You're not going to have the power of God. But you do have the power of God working through you. And empathy opens up that door. There are always people you're not going to like. There's that one guy or that one gal that gets under your skin. That one person who you say, Lord, the only thing I ask of you today is for you not to allow me to punch his lights out. But to try to understand, there was a wonderful book I wrote, I read in seminary called Getting to Yes. It's a part of the curriculum of the Harvard Business School. It is in a negotiated situation, how do you get to both parties saying yes? Which means that we will get to the point where we can get along and so be it. But that takes empathy. That takes the willingness to let go of your own situation, to let go of your own agenda, to let go of what you think is right, and leave yourself open to the leading of the Holy Spirit, who is always right and will make sure that you are. And along the way, he will strengthen your muscles, give you a new sense of purpose. He will equip you. He will guide you. He will give you opportunity. All you have to do is shut up and listen and follow. So empathy is a great thing. Compassion coming out of empathy is a lovely attribute. It's part of God's characteristics. But it's part of a plan. It's a well thought out process. It's not an accident. So whenever you find yourself caught in that situation, what am I supposed to think? What am I supposed to do? Seek his wisdom, his guidance. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight, as it says in Proverbs. It's very simple, yet very hard to do, isn't it? Oh, Lord, I had an opportunity to do the right thing. I had the opportunity to follow you. I had the opportunity to do your will, and I got in the way. Lord, help me get out of the way. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for creating us in your own image. Thank you, Lord, for understanding that we are flawed. We will always fall short. We will never be like you, no matter what the serpent tells us. Remind us, Lord, that you are beautiful, you are all-powerful, that you are glorious, and that you are holy, and that you are there for us and with us. All we need to do is ask. Father, we thank you in this Christmas season for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his bringing you to earth to share you with us so that in some small way we could understand. Father, help us to move forward in the new year, to let go of old grudges, heal those wounded feelings, give us empathy so that we can look at the world through your eyes of compassion, love one another, and do your will. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.